Okay, full confession. I was such a nerd in school growing up, but maybe it's not nerdy to get excited for back to school and back to school shopping. Did you like back to school shopping?
I like back to school shopping. I didn't like back to school.
Okay, so there's the judgment. So but listen, if I could tell my best friend this and he can openly judge me, then anybody, I guess, can. But you like the back to school shopping. We can agree on that.
Yeah, because I like the notebooks and I like all that stuff and five, you know, whatever. I did like getting stuff.
But you liked getting the new stuff.
I did, but then the stresses of actually going to school with it, I don't necessarily think I liked that.
Fair. I liked it all. I liked all of it. I love the whole kit and caboodle. I was a big fan. But it's so interesting because here in Connecticut, we have what I always mess up the title of it, sales tax free week, which they do near the back to school time every single summer. And we're in it right now. And I'm loving it. My third grader is not as enthused to get his sneakers and his, you know, everything he needs. But I love it. I'm very into it.
but to be fair, you had, because you showed me all this stuff, you ordered notebooks. I actually, when you opened up the package of stuff that you had ordered, like notebooks and filing things and new
pens and stuff.
Mm-hmm. You were so excited, I thought you were going back to school.
Well, because I got it all for myself.
Right, exactly, yes. Your back to school was like just
I also ordered back to school stuff for myself because I feel like, and this is totally manipulative, I will admit that, I will say to Chase, like, hey, we'll go through this together, right? But really, right. I love having, you know, that motivation, a fresh notebook when I'm in studio, maybe that fresh workout outfit so I can get back into, you know, a routine with going to the gym. So yeah, I like back
yes,
to school
you do.
Shopping.
Tax free is all.
And tax sales, tax right. free week. Yeah, so you're not going to not. But I will say, as we talk about back to school, my mindset of back to school changed dramatically once we had children. So, you know, my son again is going into third grade. And I've noticed really since about kindergarten, maybe first grade, that I have so many questions and concerns and things I want to hammer out those first few weeks when my son is entering into a new school year, which I never obviously had as a student, but I do as a parent.
Yeah, and that's the thing. So as we're going back to school, they're getting the supplies. You're gearing up, you're juicing up your kids to go back to school.
Right.
Sometimes some kids can be challenged whether or not they want to go back to school or not because there's a stress involved with that. But there's also a stress involved with parents. But then once school starts, unfortunately, we are now dealing in an age where safety and those safety concerns do sometimes take hold of people. So while you're planning back to school night, meeting with the teachers and notebooks and bus routes and all those things, we've received a lot of inquiry or concerns that we should have some discussion about, that we should just talk about some of the things that parents should be aware of or maybe some things that they should be doing as they're getting ready to go back.
Yeah, just feeling more proactive and empowered, certainly with your kids starting a new school year. In fact, a lot of our topics that we're going to discuss over the next few podcasts are going to be back to school related. And as mentioned, thank you to the many people who reached out. A lot of people with overlapping ideas and topics you wanted us to talk about. And we're so excited to do that. Probably the most overwhelming is when something goes wrong at school, which we will talk about. I think that's going to be next week's episode just because. Before we get to school, Gary, we should probably talk about what you, mom and dad, guardian, grandma, grandpa, whoever you may be, what you should be talking about with the school. What should you be asking before Junior actually steps into the classroom? So that's what we're going to start with today with our back to school series.
Yeah, and there are a lot of them. Let's just go right to the heart of one of the first ones that really comes up, and it really is that lockdown, because we'll talk next week or maybe you can get to the end of this week about lockdowns. Mm-hmm. But let's talk just a little bit about some of the things that parents should think about when it comes to lockdowns. Mm-hmm. One of the first basic ones is who calls a lockdown and what really is the procedure as it relates to lockdowns.
Right. Well, and I do think that that is a little bit of a misconception. And also, where do we fit into the equation of when a lockdown situation is happening? Right. So, I mean, I guess from a law enforcement standpoint, certainly. So, Gary, you and I have talked enough about this with Gary, but Gary was the former chief of police in Fairfield, Connecticut. And he was chief actually at the time that Connecticut went through arguably one of its biggest tragedies, Sandy Hook.
Right.
So you were there and kind of seeing how lockdown drills became kind of part of the norm for as young as kindergartners. And so how does that work? Like, who makes the call for a lockdown?
So, yeah, there's a lot of work behind the scenes that goes into a lockdown. And basically, for those of you who, just as a reminder, the reason we have instituted lockdown is because we know that if bad people can't get to you, they can't hurt you. And that's really the concept behind it. So instantly, we want to make sure that people understand and train for that. The whole concept is that when a lockdown is called, teachers and students all go to locations that they can lock their doors. Now, fast track or backtrack a little bit. Who calls a lockdown?
Right.
You know, it's kind of this not. It's kind of funny in a way because we train for lockdowns that the principal or somebody will get on a loudspeaker and say we are instituting a lockdown, and we train for that. But ultimately, anyone in the building should be able, especially a staff member
should
or a teacher,
should be trained to do that.
Should be trained to do that.
So front desk person, custodian even, lunch lady, like anybody should be able to have that skill set?
They should. They should. Well, they should be prepared and understand what it's, what
Because
what
you never know where a potential threat could be coming from.
And, you know, we never really talked about it, but the janitorial staff is so crucial when it comes to school
safety. Same thing with front desk, though.
Hands down. And we never really talk about that.
I know. Well, because you think about the head honchos. You think about the superintendent in a district. You think about the principals. Right. You think about the teachers. And not to say that they don't have their importance. Of course they do, obviously. But it is interesting that we don't equip sometimes enough or we don't focus enough on the greeter. The first person you see when you enter the door, or the person who is allowing someone to come through the front door. Also, as you mentioned, janitorial staff. Most times when I go to pick up my son early from school for an appointment, something like that, the first person I will see is somebody with the custodian staff because they're either outside doing outdoor work or they are bringing things outside. They're constantly in and out. So to your point, sometimes they're even doing grounds work as
Right. Yeah. And so they are the smart. They are some of the smartest people in the school.
1,000%.
Because they know everything about the school.
Correct.
And when we start talking about lockdowns, I think one of the first things parents should understand, because you brought it up when you go pick Chase up from school, they have to understand the process of the school access. Mm-hmm. Because it starts, lockdown really starts with school access. So parents really have to understand what the position is of the school as the day happens. So, you know, generally what schools will do is they'll open up, they will greet the kids, they'll probably come in through one entrance, maybe two entrances. But then at a certain time, those doors are locked.
Are done. Right.
And parents have to understand that if you want to come to the school, this is the process that you need to follow. But you have to ask that question.
Right.
Because two things happen. Number one, if you want to go pick your kid up, you have to understand what the process is. But number two is you have to start having confidence that the school knows what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And they're going to keep our kids safe should something happen.
Well, and I'll take it even a step further too, Gary. You know, we talk about one of the best things that we could do as parents. You may not agree fully with how schools do things or curriculum or maybe even the teacher, but you do have to be an active partner. So one of the things that I realized in, you know, having Chase is that when they have either fire drills, lockdown drills, you know, whatever goes on in school, the school will then email us and let us know, like, hey, this went on today. And they'll do it about an hour before kids get out of school so that we kind of get in the mindset of partnering with the school and, you know, saying, hey, let's talk about what happened today. Was there anything that scared you? Was there anything you have questions about? Was there anything that we can kind of fill in the gaps? You know, how did that feel? And again, kind of encouraging that conversation at home and partnering with the schools. I mean, that is also, I think, a big part of it is including the parents in that, too.
A very big part of it. I'll even go a step further. I was a firm believer.
We're just going to one-up each other this whole time. You're like, you know what? I know.
I know. I agree with you, but I will raise you up.
That's it. We're playing poker a little
but
bit.
I think that when it comes to lockdown drills, there's a couple misconceptions of lockdown drills. First of all, there should never be a surprise lockdown drill. Mm-hmm. And really, parents shouldn't even be surprised about it.
Right.
Because my experience when I was the chief was, and we did practice lockdown drills when I was chief, kind of coming out of the heels of some other incidents prior to the incident, you know, the Sandy Hook incident that happened in Connecticut. It shouldn't be a surprise. If we're really going to become really good at lockdown drills, and we wish we didn't have to be, parents should know ahead of time even. At least some parents should, because this is why it's crucial that parents start to understand what lockdowns are and when drills are done and when they're committed, because they could be very traumatic.
They can be. However, I'm going to push back on you here. Okay. Ready? I'm going to raise you one.
Go.
But here's my thing, because from a news standpoint, I agree with you. I wish we knew ahead of time that they were going to do these drills.
Right.
So when I went to my son's school, which, by the way, I think I am the nightmare parent for my son's school.
That could fit.
Yeah, that totally checks. I am that nightmare parent. Oh, my gosh, I will never forget my poor son's first grade teacher, who was a doll face. I mean, so super, super nice. And thank God she liked my son. I don't know if she was a fan of mine, mostly because of this. I think the first or second day that Chase started school, I started asking her questions about, well, how do lockdown drills work? And do you have bulletproof glass for your, because you're in one of the front, you know, classrooms of the school. And I'm asking her these questions and she's like, who, you're that person. So my question was to the school. I said, I don't love the fact that we find out about lockdown drills after you've already done them. And here's what the school told me.
Okay.
Well, because when we tell the parents about it beforehand, we are either inundated with calls, kids are not going to school because the parents don't want them doing lockdown drills or they think it will scare them.
Right.
So there's almost this overreaching, the parents know better. So when they know about a lockdown drill coming, they impact that being done smoothly. I could see both sides of it.
My
best way of putting that. I do understand why school districts don't tell you ahead of time. I may not love it because I will not inundate you with calls. I promise you, although I'm a nightmare parent, I will not be that person because I understand the process, but I do see where hundreds of parents would get in the way. Why are you laughing?
Because this is actually a conversation that is evolving while we're on air, which is great to have this just kind of discussion about it. Because when you try to really understand what a lockdown drill is, it's really just developing a skill.
Right.
So that you know when we are telling students and staff to lock the doors because there is a threat, or we believe there's a threat, it's really practicing the skill.
Right.
We sometimes over-traumatize people because if a real incident happens and we have to call a lockdown, it's traumatizing.
Right, of course.
And hands down, everybody is going to be scared and, and we recognize that. But practicing the technique doesn't necessarily have to be traumatized.
Well, and I think you bring up a really good point, which is that sometimes we do project things that we know. So for example, I've definitely explained why they do lockdown drills without ever actually mentioning Sandy Hook, because my son is 8.
Of course.
But I think two things can be true at the same time, which is that you can talk about the importance of being safe in school, but not have it associate with why necessarily there have been events that have led to lockdown drills. But we know both sides of it. The kids don't necessarily know both sides of it.
So we're both actually right. When it comes to lockdown drills.
Gary's like, just to be clear, we're both right.
We got it right.
There it is. Okay, fair.
So, but I think that as we're having this discussion, that's why it's important for parents to have that same discussion, especially if you have a child that you know is really can be traumatized by.
Yes,
there are parents
absolutely.
That can be traumatized by
it. 1,000%.
But the more we have a discussion and the more we include parents, to your point, the more we include parents in these discussions, it makes it easier for everybody to understand why we do lockdown drills. I get it. You don't want to mention the past cases of why it's significant. But I have had discussions with my kids growing up where I'd say, hey, did you have a lockdown? I practiced a lockdown.
Right.
Or, hey, I heard tomorrow morning you're going to have a lockdown drill. Let me know how it goes. This is what... So there is... both sides of that coin to say, should we include parents beforehand or not? That's going to be a district decision, but parents should understand where they fit in that.
Right. Well, and I think to your point, Gary, I think it's important to have those conversations at the beginning of the school year, especially, you know, if you build a great rapport with the school. So, for example, we are now 3 years into, no, four. Oh, wow. Yeah. This is Chase's fourth year going into school. God, four. Sad. Right. Yeah. Because kindergarten, first, second, now he's going to third. Yeah, crazy. I've built a rapport with the school to the point that they will kind of let us know, like, hey, there is a day this week that a lockdown drill will be taking place. So at the beginning of the week, regardless of what day it is, I can talk to Chase about, hey, remember, when there's a lockdown drill and there's a fire drill, the importance of do not talk. Make sure you can hear. If your friends are talking, be a leader. Make sure they're being quiet. You know, like, so we're having those conversations. And again, it's kind of a compromise. But I think the more you lean into the school and you build that rapport with them and be a partner with them, at least I've found in my situation, and again, I'm not the easiest parent I know to deal with, they will, I think, meet you halfway with
that. Yeah, and that's to have the discussions ahead of time so you understand it.
Yeah.
You know, back to school night, homework and all that stuff is fine. But when a lockdown is called, and we know, unfortunately, as the school year begins, it's going to happen around the country, and parents all around the country, when a lockdown is occurring in a school, they all feel it. It doesn't matter whether it's California, Connecticut, wherever. If a lockdown's called and it's public, all parents, no matter where they are, get that pit in, that feeling in the pit of their stomach.
Well, and that actually leads to another good question, Gary, which is that, and we're talking about back to school questions that parents should just be discussing with either the schools, probably teachers, you know, even the superintendent or the principal. I would argue you could have these conversations. But why would you call a lockdown? It's important to say who can do it and how that procedure works, but why you would. So when I said it's going to happen, I'm not saying that there is going to be a lockdown situation like a Sandy Hook happening. God, we hope to God we don't see that this school year or anywhere. But, I mean, there are other situations that lead to that. Suspicious person walking on campus. Sometimes there will be an internal lockdown that happens. A swatting incident, a phone call comes in, or an email or something found on social media. A lockdown situation will sometimes happen. So even understanding why we sometimes have to go into a lockdown, I think, is also important.
Yeah. And to your point, so there's different levels of a lockdown. Lockdown, generally speaking, a lockdown drill is, or a lockdown is called to get everybody to a secure location inside the building and even lock the doors outside, meaning that there is a threat. We believe there's a potential threat. It might be in the building. Mm-hmm. Everybody just lock down and become, in essence, become a ghost.
Yeah.
So that you can't, to your point, nobody can hear you. Hopefully no one's talking. And they can't see you, because if they can't find you and you're a ghost, they can't hurt you. That's the general concept of a lockdown.
Right.
There is also a lockout. And teachers, excuse me, school districts will call these a variety of different things, but you have to ask because you have to understand it. Mm-hmm. There is a concept of a lockout, meaning that there is a threat or a potential threat outside of the building.
Mm-hmm.
And in the state of Connecticut, if law enforcement is involved in an incident and there is a school around, they're required to notify the school. So let's say the...
So like if they were responding to a domestic dispute, but down the street from a school, they'll do a lockout.
Potentially
which...
a domestic, but let's say a pursuit or a bank robbery is near a school.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
They notify the school of that. They're required to notify the school.
But a lockout, you could still continue doing activities. Yeah. The kids don't even know really what's going on, but nobody can get into the school at that time.
That's right. Yeah. So it's like you're locking, you're securing the perimeter. So
right.
It's a lock.
Okay.
It's a lock.
Kids can't leave, but they're still continuing with the class. There's no lockdown situation.
Right.
There's no waiting.
Right.
Got
and
it.
That happens for a variety of reasons. To your point, a suspicious person in the parking lot or whatever that you don't think is a threat, but you can do that. That's the other thing. And then we talk about evacuations.
Right. Well, because I do think that that's kind of part of the going back to why you don't always get a notification of a drill going on. One of the biggest problems we see, especially with swatting, just from a news standpoint, one of the biggest things I hear from whether it's cops or people who are responding to these alleged threats, which end up being hoaxes most of the time, is that you are inundated with parents showing up to the school.
Right.
And so, you know, where is my role as a parent? And whether that's, you know, do I come to the campus? How do I reunify with my child? How do evacuation plans work? And let's even get beyond, you know, again, I hate even bringing up school shootings, but it's like, let's get beyond that. Let's say it's a fire. Let's say, you know, service goes down. There's a hacking situation. I don't know.
Yeah,
that's another thing that I don't think we think enough about is like the reunification. How do we know where to find our kids? What do your evacuation plans look like?
Yeah. And that's all we focus so much on lockdown, but there is.
Right.
So it's lockdown. You're secure. Lockout, meaning that we're going to still operate, but it's going to be modified a little bit. And then evacuations. We have to get everybody out of the building. The threat is potentially in the building, not a threat of a school shooter, but maybe a fire. Or
no, like a gas leak, a fire, or something. I mean, it's a building.
Chemical things happen.
Right.
So
you're
that
in the science lab, and somebody just mixed the wrong chemical. Did I do that once in high school? We're not going to talk about that.
We're not
but I'm serious. Like, what do you do with an evacuation?
Did you do that once in high school?
I did actually.
Okay. So that's an evacuation.
End of story.
Now you bring up the case of reunification.
Right.
So when we start talking to parents about what they should be asking their district ahead of time and get a good understanding of, it's that kind of thing of the emergency response. The reason we mention lockdowns and reunification is because we do know around the country you know, we hope it doesn't happen, but we do know around the country there are instances where this occurs. Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure that everybody understands it. Because taking the mystery out really allows preparation. It's not paranoia, it's just preparation. So reunification is really saying that the school goes into lockdown. And when I was chief, we had to lock down all of our schools, all 17 schools in the district because of a swatting incident.
Mm-hmm.
And parents showed up, which they're going to show up.
Of course they are.
And they want to know how to get their kids. Now, we let them know that all kids were safe, that it was a hoax situation.
Right.
But they want to know how they're going to be reunified with the kids. And that's a lot of kids to reunify.
To figure out.
Right. So the question parents have to ask is, if something were to happen, how am I going to be notified, number one? How am I going to be notified that there's an incident? And social media is going to take that over, unfortunately. How am I going to be notified and how am I going to be reunified
mm-hmm.
with my kids?
Yeah.
You have to ask that ahead of time.
Yeah, you totally do. And unfortunately, we are already coming up on the end of our episode, which kind of sinks, which we didn't even finish the first topic here, Gear. I mean, do you want to just really quickly rattle off just some very basic
yeah.
questions that people write this down? If you're like me, get yep. your pen and paper out and write these down, because I think these are really good questions that I certainly am going to be asking my son's school, who they've already, you know, written me off
be
a little
prepared.
Bit.
Be
yeah,
prepared.
But I think these are good be prepared questions. So we talked about the lockdown,
yeah.
How people are notified during an emergency. I mean, talk about some of these
Yeah,
guys.
I think the other thing is where do parents go for an evacuation or a reunification? That's part of that reunification. Okay,
right.
How am I going to be reunified? But where do I go to pick my child up? Because generally, it's probably not going to be at the school.
Right.
If there's an incident at the school, if Melissa mixes chemicals together, it's probably going to be somewhere else.
That literally happened one time
okay.
and everything was fine.
Yep, one more than mine.
Okay.
So, and then who's authorized to pick up a child? So let's, you know, these crises do happen sometimes in odd times. So mm-hmm. who's authorized to pick it up? What happens if there's a emergency on a bus, which is an important one? And we'll talk about that next week as well. Some of that 30-minute time frame from out of school to home.
Yeah.
How does the school handle missing students, mental health emergencies? And we talked about the district conducting drills. And
when I like this one,
prepare.
How does the school communicate when information is still developing?
Right.
That is definitely one that I think is important, too. And again, I think it does kind of start with those conversations and just being open-minded to wanting to learn and also to partner with the school. I feel like that's a good mindset to have before
yeah.
junior. Right. Starts.
Information's limited, but the information they have should be communicated. And again, with information, be a consumer of information in an emergency, not a conduit.
Yeah. So we're going to continue in next week's episode talking about back to school. And if you have topics that are on your mind as your child is going back to school this year, definitely let us know. We're going to continue with this in the next podcast.